So this is the Planning Commission meeting, virtual, Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. And let me get my gavel here. In compliance with the state and county shelter at home orders, meetings will be held by teleconference only until further notice. This meeting can be viewed on channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on www.slo-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is open now. So, Howison, good to see you. Okay. So, do we have a volunteer who wants to lead the flag salute? No response? Then I'll be glad to lead it. So, everyone, please stand. I hope the wavy flag is on your screen. It's on mine. So, please stand. Face flag, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So you may be seated. Can we have a roll call?
Commissioner Halverson?
Here.
Commissioner Holden?
Here.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Here.
And Chair Rodman?
Here. So, agenda review. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. So, commissioners, any comments, any adjustments, staff, the agenda look okay?
Looks fine.
You don't hear anybody speaking up, so do I have someone who wants to make the motion?
I move that we approve the agenda as submitted.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. And the agenda is as stands. And so public communication, please call in at 805-321-6639. If you would like to provide any public comment at all. During this time, the commission will allow public communication with additional communication, if necessary, allowed after the regular business items. Any member of the public may address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes, please. On any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this commission, the commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council or this commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. So let's begin the consent agenda. The following routine.
Can we first, Nicole, can we verify, is no one else? Sorry to run up, Chairperson Rodman. Is there anyone on the line that is there to speak on a public hearing item or cloud comic that is not on the public agenda this evening?
No. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
There is no one? Okay, good. Then, in that case, we'll proceed to the consent agenda. The following routine items listed below are scheduled for consideration as a group. Recommendations for each item are noted in the parentheses. Members of the public may speak on any items listed on the consent agenda. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the commission on any item listed under the consent agenda? If so, please call in at 805-321-6639. And we may pull it for discussion at this time or following all items listed under the regular business portion of the agenda. Any commissioner or the city attorney may request that an item be withdrawn from the consent agenda to allow for full discussion. Items withdrawn from the consent agenda will be heard at the after the rest of the consent agenda is approved. So first item is meeting minutes of June 24, 2020, the Planning Commission meeting. So is there any motion? Voice vote? If no one has any comments on the agenda, and if someone would make a motion.
I will make a motion that we approve the minutes as submitted.
Second?
I'll second.
Great. So voice vote, please.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, there's our attorney. Welcome.
Sorry for my tardiness.
Computer. So, public hearing item number two, development application 20-16. Applicant Hernady and Rosa Lorraine. The Planning Commission will consider a development permit to demolish an existing residence and construct a new two-story, 2,134 square foot single family residence with an attached two-car garage and workshop up to 25 feet in height. Story poles have been erected to demonstrate the proposed building envelope that would be located above 16 feet. The property is located at 354 North 8th Street in the low density residential zone. The project is categorically exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. So let's see if we should have a staff report.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson Rodman. So as mentioned earlier, this is development application 2016. Again. So the proposed development, so these are the existing conditions of the proposed development. It is located at 354 North 8th Street. So the picture on your left-hand side of the screen is the existing residence. As mentioned in the background report, this residence was purchased by the city of Pismo Beach sometime in the 1980s for a test well site. The test well came back as not being a good well site. It was in the city's possession for quite some time up until 2017, when the applicant purchased the property from the city of Pismo Beach. So this is another slide showing the conditions. The slide on the top is looking on North 8th Street going up towards the 400 block. So it's going uphill. The picture on the bottom of your screen is looking down on North 8th Street. And again, the subject property is located right here on the top, and then on the bottom side of the screen, right about here, where you see the palm tree. So the proposed or the existing zoning on the proposed project is R1 zoning. It is highlighted there on both images on your screen in the red square, and there's an aerial photo. Again, that's the palm tree that you saw highlighted on the previous slide. So the proposed project is a two-story Southern Colonial style residence. They are proposing to demolish the existing 512 square foot residence and replacing it with this new two-story single family home, totaling 25 feet in height as measured from average natural grade consistent with the development code. The total living area of approximately 2,134 square feet includes three bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, an enclosed sunroom, and 164 square feet of second floor balcony facing the street and a 184 square foot rear deck that's facing the rear portion of the property. A new 165 square foot first floor front facade cover deck is also included in the proposed plans, as well as an attached single story 455 square foot two car garage located in the rear portion of the property and an attached single story 309 square foot workshop with a three quarters bathroom. This workshop is not proposed to be occupied, so therefore it'll be a U occupancy as shown in the plans. Additionally, a new driveway that accesses both the garage and workshop is proposed, and additional front and rear landscaping and decorative paving. So again, here on the screen, you see the red outline. That is the existing 512 square foot home. And this outline here is where the proposed new home will be. So on your screen are some sections that were included as a part of your staff or agenda packet. Again, the proposed height of this structure is 25 feet as measured from natural grade. This section here shows the proposed house. The arrow there is facing North 8th Street. And again, this is the rear deck that we mentioned earlier, the two-car garage workshop. This is the second floor balcony covered facing North 8th. And then also the first floor balcony, again, covered as well, facing North 8th. So it's very much designed for orientation to the street, consistent with our development code and general plan. Another shot of elevations there. This is the rear elevation. As mentioned earlier, there's that rear uncovered deck on the rear portion, and you can see it here on the elevation and sections on your screen. This is a floor plan of the proposed residence, and I'll walk you through. Again, it's a three bedroom, so there's a bedroom here, two bedrooms here on the first floor, main entry. Again, the attached single-story two-car garage and attached workshop, as mentioned earlier. And then the second floor contains that balcony, a family room, a kitchen, and a larger master bath, walk-in closet, and then the sunroom in the back as well. So as we mentioned back at our, when we last met in June of this past year, we had a discussion in regards to the California Housing Accountability Act. It was a presentation made by our city attorney, Dave Hale, who is on the line for any questions that you may have. This legislation has been existing. It's been around since 1980. This was amended in 2017. And so what that did was eliminated local municipalities, including us here at the city of Grover Beach, our ability to utilize what's considered subjective policies and standards. What that means is viewshed is one of them. Others are colors and does it fit the neighborhood character. Those are considered subjective policies. So in this instance, because if it meets the objective design standards, the commission may only deny the project if it had a specific adverse impact on public health and safety. This impact must be quantifiable, direct, and unavoidable. So what that means is if the floor area ratio in our development code requires 1.0 and the proposed project is 1.25, it's inconsistent with the objective standard and it's a quantifiable standard, which therefore could be denied. Objective policies cannot be used to deny a housing project when the project is consistent with objective standards. We do have objective design standards that are located in our development code. Those include setbacks, those include floor area ratio, those include area of landscaping in the rear and the front. Those are what are considered objective design standards. They're measurable design standards such as height, which is measured from average natural grade. And those are what we are basing our recommendation for approval for you this evening. As a part of all the development applications, we do look at the consistency with the general plan of the development code. We looked at, as part of your staff report, LU31 and its compatible infill development, including architectural character, its compatible color materials, privacy and solar access. We did include those findings as a part of the staff report, as well as located in your proposed resolution this evening. Additionally, we looked at LU20.6 of the architecture, with the understanding that this proposed project differs a little bit from what we typically see here in the city of Grover Beach in terms of architectural standards. But again, there is no one single architectural style within the city. So therefore, we looked at it objectively to ensure, again, as mentioned earlier, orientation to the street, privacy, etc. We also looked at qualities desired in the neighborhood and building height. And again, those findings and comments are found in your staff report. As mentioned earlier in the Housing Accountability Act, the proposed project does meet objective design standards established by the development code. This table, which is included, again, in your staff report, shows what some of those objective design standards are. In this instance, it does meet the front yard setback at 20 feet. It meets our interior side yard setbacks. It meets our rear yard setbacks. It meets the proposed building height, maxing out at 25 feet. It is existing at 15 feet, so it's about 10 feet taller. The proposed building coverage is only 25%, which is substantially less than what could be proposed and built. And the landscaping coverage is over 63%. So again, it meets every single one of those standards that are objective within our development code. As a part of any application, we do need to include a view shed analysis. The development code section 6.200060F4 requires the Planning Commission to make these findings regarding views. You did receive a numerous amount of communications in regards to view sheds, particularly ocean views from surrounding neighbors. But I do want to remind the commission that the existing policy does not differentiate or place a higher value on ocean views over other views, such as the hillside. The proposed project from an objective standpoint meets the maximum required height, which is 25 feet. The maximum lot coverage is 45% or 3,375 square feet. And the proposed development only comprises of 25% of the lot and could be expanded to maximize to maximum amounts allowed in the development code. But the applicant did not do that. So in this instance, it is substantially lower than what could have been developed if they went to the maximums allowed in the development code. We've included a view shed analysis as a part of your packet in attachment 2. And we're just going to show a couple images here. This is the story poles that were erected, as mentioned at the beginning of the presentation. Those are the orange flags that show the location of the proposed height of the new residential building. The red bar shows the backside along the 300 block of North 9th Street. So you can see that palm tree that's there. That's representative of where the edge top building height is. And you can see it's pretty hard to see on those two-story buildings that are already there. And additionally, we took a look at view sheds through Google Earth, again, based on the data that was provided by the applicant. So on your left-hand corner is a view shot from Newport and 9th Street. Again, the yellow block represents the location of the proposed home. And then on the end, at the bottom of your screen, is North 8th Street, again, sort of looking up the hill. So we did have a shot earlier at the presentation showing the existing conditions. It mimics that shot and how it would look against the hills of Grover Beach. So as a part of any development application, we are required to make an environmental determination. This proposed project does qualify for a Class 1 exemption, which exempts the demolition of a non-historical residential structure, as well as qualifies for a Class 3 exemption, which exempts construction of a new single-family home from the California Environmental Quality Act. So based on all the attachments and the criteria that's been provided to the Planning Commission, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution approving development application 2016 for development permit to demolish the existing single-family residence and construct a new single-family residence in its place, as described in the staff report and in this presentation. And with that, I'll open up to commission for any questions.
Yes, commissioners, this is your opportunity to present questions of the staff on the thorough report that was just given.
So, yeah,
commissioners, any questions?
I have a curiosity question, really. On the planting plan, it shows the plants are going to be planted in the front and so on. But there's a note here that says that the existing chain link fencing is going to remain per City of Grover Beach Development Code 3-10-020. And I just thought that our development code was requiring something a little more nicer than chain link fencing. So I was wondering what the out is there.
So the out is, and this is something I did bring up to the applicant in our comment letter as a part of our initial review. I did speak with Bruce Buckingham, our community development director, about this prior to bringing this item to the Planning Commission. Our development code actually stays silent on the use of a chain link fence, so which is why it's conditioned in your draft resolution to remove the chain link fence in the front and side setbacks up to 20 feet. That's where our code states that it needs to be a solid wood fence. Our code is completely silent from there on out on the rear and sides. That is something we have noted. It is. I'll leave it up to Dave Hale if that's something that the commission can request of the applicant to construct. And again, that's something that the applicant would need to speak about. But in this instance, it meets the criteria of our code. And again, I have spoken to the applicant about this fence on a few occasions.
Okay, well, that answers my question. It is in compliance, so I don't have any other concern about it.
Very well. It's a good question. I'm glad you had it. Any other commissioners have a question or questions for the staff? I see one nod, no. Okay. Well, I have a kind of a curiosity thing also that I want to challenge myself to understand the new state law that kind of takes some of our privilege in protecting view sheds. So if I look at the findings, and we'll all do that pretty soon as commissioners, but if I look at the findings and I see that I need a specific adverse impact to deny the proposed project, then can I find that the architectural character, being that the building is a little blocky, it meets the setbacks, but it's higher than the architecture seems to require, and so that would also involve the last finding that would get into view shed because it's such a massive architectural style that doesn't fit that neighborhood very well. Can it be denied because it also blocks a view or two or three? So is that clear enough for maybe legal or
sure
or Raphael to chime in on this?
The standard that was used for a number of years by the city in approval of any kind of structures that ultimately would block the view shed. The problem that we have is due to the lack of deference the state legislature has given local agencies to make up the decisions on or greater decisions on approval of housing projects that are not quantifiable. They don't substantiate public health and safety issues. Those kinds of decisions based on unquantifiable data or information or evidence is presented to the commission. The state has basically said, we're not going to allow local agencies to do that any longer. So functionally, they have basically established in some of the new legislation, as Mr. Castillo has articulated accurately, that have to have essentially quantifiable standards for a project, and we have to show, based on evidence that's presented to you tonight, that there is a specific adverse impact on public health and safety, and that there's no feasible method by which we can satisfy or mitigate that impact. So the question is, does view sheds create a public health and safety issue? Do you have an evidence before you this evening that creates a public health and safety issue? And is the standards or is the concept of blocking a view shed one that is significant, quantifiable, direct, and an unavoidable impact based on an objective standard related to public health and safety? If you have evidence before you this evening that would substantiate those findings, then you could deny this project. The question is, do you?
Yeah, I don't see that evidence, but my question, in addition to what you've answered, is L, what is that number? LU-3.1, compatible infill development, says that architectural character of a neighborhood could be considered. But because I can't present evidence that quantifies that agricultural character, just the appearance to me that it doesn't fit that neighborhood architecture is not quantifiable enough to allow me to deny this project. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's a very accurate and fair statement.
Afraid of that. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So could we maybe hear from the applicant? Is he on board here on our video?
We're here. Can you hear us?
Okay. Would you like to make a little presentation about your project here?
Sure, I'd like to speak to it. This is Hearn and Rosie Lorraine. We're the property owners of the single family house at 354 North A Street, which we have proposed to be demolished and to construct a new home. We know that our new home will be a substantial improvement over the existing structure and will have a positive impact on the aesthetics and the surrounding property values in the neighborhood. Our adjacent neighbors are aware of our plans and looking forward to the removal of the old structure and relieving them of concerns of vagrants often seen on the property. We have read through the entire Planning Commission staff report and agree with the recommended approval of our development plan. We have complied with all of the city development codes in our proposed design and have already made inroads to checking our sewer line tie-ins, and we'll be putting in a new 1-inch water line and meter to comply with the California Building Code and the 5 Cities Fire Authority. We will also be installing a new concrete curb and gutter in short order in preparation for the proposed new roadwork plan for 8th Street. We want to thank Grover Beach staff members, Rafael Castillo, Janet Reese, and Keith McGregor, whom have assisted us in the development planning process. My wife and I are both retired living in Texas and look forward to life in Grover Beach and being close to our son-in-law and daughter, Tim and Heidi Green, who are residents of Grover Beach, and expect frequent visits from our children and grandchildren. We are anxiously awaiting approval of the Planning Commission before demolishing the existing structure. And that's all I have.
Well, thank you for that report. That's very good. I understand how you can see that it's an improvement, getting rid of the building that's there, making the palm tree, putting vegetation in the place of that isn't as high. I understand how you could be very positive with that. But when I read some letters from the public, they're not quite so positive. So is there a public available to speak on this matter? Please call 805-321-6639. Is there any public that wants to be heard?
We actually
there
do.
Yes.
We do have someone on the line. It's David Stepp.
Yes, if you're Hello? On the line to speak on the Ernady and Rose of Development 20-16, go ahead and speak right up.
Can you hear me?
Barely. You could, Hello? If you could increase the volume a bit.
Okay. Well, the only thing that I would have to say is we're not interested in turning down or having the project turned down. The problem that we have is that we've spent a tremendous amount of money on the property that we have, and we put in a deck and everything through the city as the applicants have, and we've spent a lot of money for that view, and that house is going to take the entire view away from us. And we're not suggesting for a moment that you should turn down the project but to look and see if there are adjustments that could be made that would help us and other people in the area that have suggested to me, and I guess have written letters to Mr. Castillo suggesting this, that it was also taking away their view. Are there adjustments that could be made? And Mr. Castillo received at least two emails from me, and I'm certain other emails as well, suggesting that there could be adjustments that would prevent that.
Okay, thank you. Is that that's complete of your statement? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, literally, okay. I'm not, you know, I'm welcoming the addition of the family and everything, and I heard their dissertation on the deal, but I'm just saying that if there could be allowances made that would help the neighborhood not lose value in our properties, because it will devalue my property somewhat, losing all those views. And I know that that it sounds like that's not something that the state has indicated, but I have read through your policies at the commission, and I don't know if they're old or whatever, but it does say that use could of adjacent properties could be considered.
Okay, are there other public people on the phone that want to speak to this issue?
No, there is not.
No, that's it then. Okay, so let's go to the staff again. And do you have any comments you want to make about adjustments that could be required, or that the commission could ask for?
I will let Dave weigh on this. Again, as proposed, it does meet the standards. If the commission, I'll defer to Hale on that one. But I did have a question for you, Chairperson Rodman, and also for our city attorney. Is we did receive quite a few correspondence under this, particularly after the printing of the staff report. Do we need to read those aloud for the record, David?
I'd recommend doing that, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a reader? Are you going to, would you like to read them yourself?
Yes, that's fine. I have access to them. So let me see if I can reverse out from yesterday.
They are also on the website.
Okay. Are they? Okay.
Yeah. Added as a supplemental item.
Okay. So let me... momentarily get there. Mm-hmm. We'll go from there.
Maybe in the interim, while he's looking for that, I can answer the question that the speaker asked a minute ago. Our code is old and dated. Accountability Act does preempt local regulations. So functionally in this area, in the context of these issues that we're dealing with, we have to follow state law, not our ordinances.
And did you want to speak to David on what adjustments, if any, the commission can ask for?
Well, again, you know, the project that you have before you currently is consistent with all of our standards. If you look on the Google shots, you'll see other houses within that community that are two-story houses. So it's not something that the city has. It is something the city has approved in the past, even in that local community. This particular project, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rafael, meets all of our code standards, all of our quantifiable written code standards. So the question I would have is, on what governmental basis would you be requiring him to adjust or modify his project? Is it based on, again, a viewshed analysis that does not have written quantifiable standards? And if it is, then I would have concerns as to whether that would be in violation of the Housing Accountability Act.
I think I understand that. Yeah.
And
go ahead, Rafael.
To answer Mr. Hill's question, yes, it does meet our development standards for height, for lot area, for setbacks. As mentioned earlier, they could, it's about 25% of the lot area is being consumed for this building. The maximum area for a single family residence could be 45%. So that, you know, that in that case, yes, it could actually have more development, but the applicant in their design has reduced that aspect. So, but it does meet our development standards that are objective in the case. So as directed by City Attorney Hale, I will be reading off the comments that we received after the publication of the staff report. The first email message we had was from Dan King. We are concerned at the height of the home being built at 354 North 8th Street. It would block our ocean view that we've had for 40 years. And we feel that would dramatically lower our property value if we lose our ocean view. Sincerely, Dan King. The second message we have is from Larry Tinker. Mr. Tinker wrote a letter. He's writing in response to the proposed construction of a two-story single-family residence located at 354 North 8th Street. My home is located directly in the back of the proposed new construction. When I built my house in 1987, I took into consideration my neighbor's wishes and built a one-story with the raised deck in the back to get my partial ocean view, which with much less, if any, obstruction of any other resident's view. Now this proposed project wants to build right up to the height limit, probably to be able to see over the two-story home that was built on the lot to the south of them, and of course, blocking the view of all the homes to the north. My objection is not only to protect the views of the existing residents, but also protect their property values. By allowing new homes to obscure the views of older established residences, the city is reducing our property values. Please reconsider this building permit and don't devalue our homes. And again, that was Mr. Larry Tinker. The next letter is from Denise Hapich, and she also included a picture, and I will share that picture at the conclusion of this letter. This letter is regarding agenda item number 2 and the proposed project at 354 North 8th Street. We purchased our home in May 2019, and since we have made significant improvements to it. This is our dream home, our beach home, our retirement home. While we understand the applicants may also want to build their dream home, it is our hope that this commission and the owners understand that doing so in a way proposed not only diminishes the value of our home, but also the value of the adjacent properties. Below are their areas of concern. Number 1, residential infill development policy. The proposed property does not meet the intent of the policy to protect existing views and privacy. While it is true that there are a mix of one and two-story single-family residences along North 8th Street between Brighton and Newport, most of the two-story residences are on the west side of the street. This structure would be on the east side of the street and completely dwarf the homes immediately to the right and left of it. In addition, the home, as proposed, does not protect existing views and privacy of neighboring homes along North 8th Street, Newport Avenue, and North 9th Street. Number 2, viewshed analysis. The proposed project does not substantially obstruct views of adjacent properties. The view analysis in the staff report acknowledges that the proposed development may block or reduce views and indicates that staff was unable to assess views from all surrounding properties. The view from our property was not assessed. The pictures submitted in the staff report only show the front yards of the affected properties. However, it is the view from the backyards that will be impacted by the project. The back of our home faces the proposed project. We have a two-story home with the main living area on the second floor. Our family room, kitchen, dining room, master bedroom, balcony are located on the main level. Currently, we have a view of the ocean from our main level and balcony, the same view the proposed project is attempting to create with their own second floor plan. The picture from our balcony is at the end of this letter. As you can see, the proposed project would substantially eliminate our existing ocean view. Properties immediately adjacent to ours, including on the North 9th Street, would similarly affected, with the property at 838 Newport being substantially more impacted. Is there a way we can all have our dream homes? We hope the Planning Commission and the owners of the proposed project will consider alternatives to their design that will not substantially obstruct the views of existing adjacent properties, thereby diminishing the property value. Perhaps a flatter roof, or a downgrade to the level of ceiling heights, or sloping the lot to build. We do not want to infringe on the desires to build. However, we are extremely concerned about the future enjoyment of our property and its values. We appreciate your time and consideration and look forward to receiving your decision. Let me see if I can rotate this photo. And so this is the photo that was attached in their staff report. And again, you can see the palm tree that's there in the middle and the views right there. And that is that correspondence. The final correspondence, as I do share the screen.
I have a comment. Can I comment?
Yes, we'll get back to the applicant when we're done hearing all of the letters. Yes, you certainly can.
Okay, so the another letter came from Valerie McGill. I live kitty quarter to their backyard. I view the big, beautiful palm tree that will be sorry to see go. It's a gorgeous palm tree, and it's shame that it won't be a part of the landscape of our neighborhood. Concerning the ocean view, and those are in quotes, there are several other neighbors that I believe the city should have a rule law that someone can't build a home that will obstruct their neighbor's views of the ocean. It just seems it's common sense that someone can't come to a neighborhood where ocean views are important reason why the neighbors purchase their homes and the price of their homes include the ocean view. That the city would allow them to build and block their neighbors' ocean views is just incomprehensible. Possibly, rather than a two-story home, a tri-level home with two floors in the front of the lot and go to one story in the back of the lot, or all one level. The lot is big enough to be one-story house and still have a lot of house. And that is, again, Valerie McGill. The final letter that we received was from Mr. David Strapp, to which you heard from earlier. And he also has a picture that I will share. Following up on my email relative to the adverse effect from the current construction would have on my property views and values, I would like to ask the following suggestion be considered. One, lower pitch the roof. Two, lower the height of the second floor. And three, consider the setback move back on the lot. I'm certainly not challenging my new neighbor's right to build, but I'm asking for some consideration to limit the adverse impact to my property. I have a considerable investment in my house, and I have over the years spent sums of money to add value, including a deck to promote my property's view, which will be lost if the current plans are executed. Again, I will share my screen of Mr. Strapp's view shed. And this was the included photo, again, noting the palm tree and the heights of the proposed building structure. And with that, that concludes the letters we received after the Planning Commission packets was printed and delivered to our commission members.
Okay. Raphael, I'd like you to respond to those letters. If there is anything, any new information that you didn't include in your original viewshed analysis, is there anything that you saw in those letters or photographs that would cause you to reevaluate your viewshed, given that we can't deny the project based on that standard alone anyway? But is there anything you saw in those photographs, Raphael, that would cause you to change your opinion of the viewshed being substantially blocked?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, I understand that the property owners and the neighbors are upset, and rightfully so. But again, in this instance, as stated in the staff report and by our city attorney, we have a state law that has really strung our hands in terms of what we can and cannot do. And unfortunately, at this time, our development code as well as our general plan need updating. And as stated in our staff report, we'll be utilizing some state grant monies that we received through SB2 to go ahead and make those updates in the coming year.
Okay, so I'd like to get back. The applicant wanted to share again. I think that's appropriate to respond. I just want to point out that the applicant is not required by any law or by us to make any adjustment from your original plan. However, the letters are asking you to maybe voluntarily make an adjustment. So you can respond to that or not. If you would like to take the stand once more, we'll allow that.
Yes, sir. My comment is, when I bought the property, I had the plan and the vision in my mind what I was going to build. I knew the building codes that we had to follow,
and we
which we did. We could have built a much larger home, blocking even more views. We knew that it might create some issues, but I do have a picture that I'd like to show, because only recently were two large oak trees removed from that property. One, which resided right on my property line. I allowed those neighbors access because they were doing it for the older gentleman that lived next door to me. So if I showed the picture that was up all the way till February this year, Mr. Rick Hippich did not have that great a view. As a matter of fact, he was looking at a bunch of big oak trees. So if the neighbor, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. This is the plan. This is the vision we had. And we spent a lot of money thus far, not only for the property, but for the monies we spent in preparation for building the property. So I understand going forward that I may be blocked from views because there's open properties across the street from me. There's big two-story homes right across the street from me. So I have peek-a-boo views of the ocean between those homes. Hopefully I always have views of the mountains. And hopefully, because 8th Street slopes down to the south, I'll have views of Oceano and the dunes and a little bit of the ocean on a clear day. So I understand everybody's concerns, but I have the same concerns as I go forward. It's an investment I'm making. I'm moving to Grover Beach because I love the climate and I'm going to be close to my family. The fact that I have somewhat of a view presently is great for me. I'm sorry that people are not I'm sorry that they've lost their view.
But they didn't have a view until February.
Yeah, and up until February, they didn't have much of a view to begin with, especially with those oak trees that only recently were removed. So I think I sent a picture to Raphael early on that showed, hey, this was before these trees were knocked down. So I think people need to look at that as well. I'm not trying to break any laws. I followed the code. I did everything I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to build a property, a home that we had a vision about. It's disappointing to some folks, but I may be disappointed in the future. But if the rules don't change, I just have to live with it. And I know that going in. So why would I spend building a house that maybe I'll lose my views in the future? It's a fact of life. I don't know what
that is. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments. It's time for the commissioners to make their comments. So, commissioners, Albertson, you look like you're prepared for something. You want to begin?
Right. It's on the tip of my tongue. Well, first of all, I think it's refreshing to hear that a Texan is moving to California. From what I understood, it was going the other way. but welcome to the neighborhood. Yeah, it is. It's a fact of life here in Grover Beach that with all the infill and all the reconstruction and tearing down of old single story buildings, that views which are cherished are going to get disturbed. And we've had, my wife and I have a similar situation where we had a nice peekaboo view of the ocean, and the tree next door got bigger and we've lost it. We still have another peekaboo out another window. But, that's just a fact of life. And especially in a city like this that's still growing and replacing existing properties. And aside from that, there's nothing we can really do about it anyway, because the state's taken that away from us. So it's just a fact of life. And I guess I don't have any other comments. The house looks well designed. I'm looking forward to seeing it built.
Thank you. Good comments. Commissioner Holden. No comment. Commissioner McLaughlin?
It meets the development standards, so I would support it.
Okay. Anyone else want to make a comment on the and commissioners? You've all said what you need to say. So do we have a motion? Oh, what's happened? Oh, there's a recommendation for the motion if you'd like to look at that.
All right, well, I guess I'll take a shot reading the thing here. I recommend that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution approving development application 20-16.
I'm sorry you broke up at the end of that.
Oh, did I? Okay, you want me to do it
again? Yeah, could you do it again, please?
I move that we approve the resolution now you got me all flustered.
I'm sorry.
I recommend that we approve development application 20-16. Ding. What was that?
Do we have a second on that motion?
Second, yeah. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, there's a second. So roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Chair Rodman?
Yes, with reservations, but yes. Okay, so I hear then that the motion passes. Thank you all for your input on that. This is a very tough pill to swallow for some of us, but swallow we must. So let's move on then. If there's no further business about development application 20-30, applicant James Tilley. The Planning Commission will consider a one-year time extension for development application 1833 for tentative parcel map 3118 to subdivide an existing parcel into a two-parcel subdivision and development permit to construct two single family residential homes. The property is located at 260 North Fifth Street in the high density residential R3 zone. The project is categorically exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. And I just want to remind you again to please call if you have a comment to make at 805-321-6639. So staff, do you have any input on this application?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson Rodman. You do have a very brief staff report. Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to recuse myself from this item.
Oh, are you you're involved in the planning for it?
Yes, I believe so. So
okay.
All right.
All right, you're recused. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Want to keep this pretty brief here with the commission. So again, this is development application 2030 for a time extension. The proposed development is located on 260 North Fifth Street and 264 North Fifth Street. The development, there's a building permit has been issued. Construction is ongoing. Therefore, the development permit portion of the project has been vested. The proposed time extension before you this evening is only for the tentative parcel map. The applicant cites unexpected delays. The property owner is requesting a time extension to complete the final map process, which was referenced in attachment number 3. Their staff has reviewed our development code and determined that no changes have occurred since the approval and no new conditions are required. So we are recommending approval of the time extension. And with that, I'll open up to any questions you may have of this.
Yes, commissioners, do you have any questions of the staff on this measure?
No questions.
I suppose there are none. Does the applicant have a comment to make or no? From the public, given that we have previously approved this project and it's only before us as a time extension, we're not going to, hash over the same reasons it was approved. But are there any comments from the public? Yeah. Anyone on the phone?
Get off the pod.
No, there's not.
No, there isn't anything. Okay, so then is there a motion from a member of the commission?
I'll make a motion that we adopt a resolution approving the 1-year time extension for development application 2030.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I will second.
It's moved and seconded, and I suppose we can consider that motion approved.
Oh, no,
we've got
to vote.
No, I have to do a roll call.
No, we have to vote, of course. Roll call vote. Yes, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
And Chair Rodman?
Yes, thank you. So item number 4 is next on our agenda, development application 20-37, applicant Helios Day Spring. The Planning Commission will consider a 1-year time extension for development application 18-17 for a use permit and coastal development permit to construct a commercial cannabis manufacturing and distribution facility. The property is located at 821 South 4th Street in the Coastal Industrial Zone in the Coastal Zone. The project is categorically exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. Staff, would you like to give a report?
Okay.
I think so, want to ensure that Commissioner McLaughlin is back in?
He's back.
Oh, okay, yeah. Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Is he back on? Okay.
So, again, we have another time extension before you, development application 2037. This is originally for the approval for development application 1817, located at 821 South 4th Street. The commission approved this project on August 14th, 2020. This is a commercial cannabis project. It was manufacturing distribution. The applicant has submitted a building permit, however, has not completed the building permit process at this time. The applicant is requesting an extension due to COVID-19 as a part of the project. The applicant is also actively marketing this project to possibly for sale, but again, wants to keep all options available and on the table for this commercial cannabis project. There are no changes that have occurred since the approval, as well as no new conditions are required. Just for the education of the commission, if a new owner were to take place, they would go through the background checks and requirements from the police department as well as city staff, and then the city manager to make a determination if they can go ahead and operate. But the use permit would stay in place in terms of its conditions and all applicable design, et cetera. So again, no new conditions are required. And no changes have occurred since the approval. So therefore, we are recommending that the commission approve this resolution 2737 for a 1-year time extension. With that, I'll open up to commission for any questions.
Let me start with just one off the bat. It just, I heard in your other presentation that they are making progress. They have begun construction. Is that true with this applicant, or do you believe that they may just turn it over?
This applicant has submitted for building permits at this time. It went through about two rounds of iterations and kind of just stopped at this point. Again, there are always new players in the commercial cannabis that are looking for places to locate. This applicant in particular, he owns and operates the Natural Healing Center, one of our retailers here in the city of Grover Beach. Right. And he has, if you don't follow the commercial cannabis industry, I don't blame you. But with that being said, he is opening a lot of retail outlets, most prominently in Morro Bay, medical only. They're under construction in San Luis Obispo. Recently just finished one out in Lemoore. So he's been very busy with the other retail outlets, but he does intend to want to continue to do the production, et cetera, here in Grover Beach. But if he needs to partner with someone, he wants to keep that available.
Thank you. It's very complete answer. Any other questions from fellow commissioners? I hear none, so can we have a motion then?
I'll make one then. I move that we adopt a resolution approving development application 20-37 for a one-year time extension of development application 18-17.
Okay, I heard a second. Let's do a roll call vote again.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
And Chair Rodman?
Yes. Very well. Thank you. Development application. This is our fifth agenda item and final. Yeah. Application 20-36, applicants, Master Capital Venture LLC, Class City Capital Venture LLC, Houston Capital Venture LLC, Farrell Capital Venture LLC, Expo Capital Venture LLC, and Mega Capital Venture LLC. The Planning Commission will consider a one-year time extension for development application 18-23 through 18-28 for a use permit and development permit to construct a commercial cannabis cultivation, manufacturing, and distribution campus on six separate lots. The proposed project is located at 928, 938, 943, 953, 963 and 973 Houston Street in the industrial zone. A mitigated negative declaration has been adopted and there is no potential for significant environmental impact. So staff, a report.
Yes, thank you. As mentioned, this is our last of our three time extensions this evening. This is development application 2036 for the what we call the Houston Cannabis Campus. This proposed project was approved in October 2018 over six existing legal lots. Two of these lots are currently awaiting issuance. There was a letter that was attached in your staff report. There was a death in the family, so that has really consumed the applicant from getting those permits issued. The remaining four lots are in various design and plan check phases. So one of them is, again, ready to be resubmitted for review, and then the other two are awaiting sort of what the applicant has been doing is the applicant has been waiting to sign leases. And once leases have been signed, the applicant then moves forward with his architect submitting drawings. So we are on the cusp of at least getting two of these lots developed under construction by late fall and then hopefully completed sometime next year. As with all the other time extensions, no changes have occurred since the approval and very similar to this, as the users come in, we do both Community Development Department as well as PD review the backgrounds of these commercial cannabis permit licensees, and then the city manager approves those if they pass their commercial cannabis background checks. So we are recommending approval of this item from the Planning Commission to extend 1 year of the development applications 1823 through 1828, as shown in your staff report.
Okay, that's a very large project. I'm glad to hear it's beginning to get the permits done. I'm sorry to hear about the death in the family of the applicant. Are there any questions of the staff from the commissioners at this time? There being none, is there anything from the applicant that he or she or they would like to say? No? Then is there any comments on the phone from the public?
No.
There are none. All right. So, commissioners, do you have any concerns with this 1 year extension? And then we can entertain a motion if there be none. I don't hear of any concerns.
All right, then I will make a motion that we adopt the resolution.
I'll move to approve.
So one of you need to finish the motion.
Go ahead.
All right. I move that we adopt the resolutions approving development application 20-36 for a one-year time extension for development applications 1823 through 1828.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I hear a motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Chair Rodman?
Yes. Thank you. That motion passes also. Commissioner's comments. Any updates you like? Any comments on the progress you see around Grover Beach or need for it?
Or need for it? No. I guess we'd be interesting to hear outlook for next month's meeting and maybe a status on our few hotels that are still being kicked around.
So, yeah, and then if you could, staff member, include something concrete that I can maybe put on my calendar as a time that we are going to review our building codes so that we can get new standards and replace the substantial view shed issue, so we don't have to keep doing this bad decision making.
I have a question about that, though. Even if Grover Beach changes anything, we still have the state to listen to, so it's still not a point. Is that the way I understand it? I mean,
so I guess if we
go ahead.
Well, the city, I guess, go ahead. I take on it is that our code is allowing for things, giving us the rights to enforce things that are not enforceable anymore. And so to update at least that part of the code, we should remove those things and maybe clarify those things that the state has taken away from our purview, so that the public doesn't get confused and maybe developers don't get confused.
Well said. Response, please.
I think your point's well taken. The staff in my office have been working for many, many months on making adjustments, and we're working on amendments to the code right now, but it's fairly large, so we're working our way through it, and we will ultimately get to this one. Certainly, if there's an interest in moving that up on the list of things for us to review and amend, that's certainly possible and something we can look at. But you basically have two issues here that we've got to deal with in the context of a marriage with state statutes. And that is, one, we have to have written quantifiable standards that are in our code. Currently, we do not in the context of USEDs. Two, those standards have to be specific to what the state has called specific adverse impacts. And in your staff report, Mr. Castillo, I think very accurately quantified that or basically defined it by saying that it's a significant, quantifiable, direct, and unavoidable impact based on objective and identifiable written public health and safety standards. Yeah. Now, I agree that there are circumstances that may arise, and this is something that we'd have to go back and take a look at, that a so egregious blockage of somebody's view could arise to maybe a potential public health and safety issue. I don't know. I'm not making that comment, but I'm saying ultimately that's where we have to end up at. And quite frankly, as I sit here, I don't know whether we can or can't do that. It's something that we're going to have to explore and then bring back to you in a future meeting to determine whether that's a viable option or not. Obviously, setback requirements, they deal with public health and safety issues related to fire control and fire safety, that a house next door burns down. You don't want them so close together that it immediately right. Gets the house next door on fire. So lots and lots of code provisions that we have in there are directly related to public health and safety standards. But is a two-story house going to trigger a public health and safety issue? I can't answer that question for you. So
it seems like a very high standard to me. But that's the state's prerogative, I guess.
I think if Mr. Castillo would probably agree with me, and I won't put words in his mouth, they did significantly handcuff local agencies in terms of our ability to approve or not approve these kinds of housing projects. And they did that intentionally because that's a very important issue for the state. They look at housing in the state as being so critical. They wanted to, for the most part, no longer give deference to local agencies in terms of a lot of decision making that we were doing. They took over a lot of that with the passage of. So those are the things that we have to look at. Certainly, we can do that and bring an analysis back to you at some point.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. To answer the commission's questions, as mentioned earlier in our presentation, we do have these grant funds for SB2 is what they are known as. And to let you know that originally, portions of those monies were supposed to go to other things like our housing element update, et cetera. Those monies, we've gotten additional funds from other places and other sources. So now it's become an issue of, where do we spend this SB2 grant money that we applied for? And it has objective design standards to apply that to. You saw a little bit of a taste of that in your ADU ordinance that called for quantifying where windows needed to be, no blank walls, and it gave percentages of how those would look like. Those are objective design standards, but it's a process that we would need to not only engage the Planning Commission and the City Council, but also our residents and developers as well. So it won't be a quick fix, but as David mentioned, it is something that we are all looking to, and we'll be hiring a consultant to move forward, and you will be seeing that moving next year.
Yeah, I'm excited about seeing the direction that goes, because it, I don't know, frankly, we're losing our prerogative, we're losing our power, it seems like, so that it's almost if we're going to just rubber stamp these, approvals, then this, our staff happens to be really excellent in checking all the nitty gritty. So it's almost like we have very little to do, but we get very little pay. So I guess that's probably why it all works out in the end. Okay, but commissioners.
It also seems that the public doesn't listen or doesn't understand that we're restricted.
Yeah, that I think that is true. They look for support in that belief in our old standards. But educating the public is really kind of out of our purview. But I'm an educator for 33 years of eighth graders, and their parents are even harder to educate than the eighth graders are. So whoever takes on that task, good luck. Any other comments we have? We didn't get to anything else from Raphael. Any updates, Raphael?
Yeah, I'll be happy to do the director's report as the fill-in. So question was in regards to status of the hotels or the various hotel projects we have ongoing. As you know, our biggest one, the Lodge, it is in state hands. So that's a slow burn, as I like to call it, but there is progress being made. Our other two that we have, the Urban Common site at 950 El Camino Real, there's been a little bit of activity from behind the scenes on that project in terms of Urban Commons and other folks looking to see what they can do to help bring that back alive in terms of construction aspects. So we have a little bit of movement, especially this last week that Bruce has been gone, of course. We've had a few people outreach to our department about that. As far as 1598 El Camino Real, the council on this past week, had a second reading for the Plan Development 5 overlay. They approved that. So it's a 30 days to take an effect. They have filed their notice of determination, and they are actually actively working with their design team on submitting building permits. I had their civil engineer reach out to me yesterday for a design question. So it definitely, they are moving along given this past summer. It's kind of, you know, even though we were in COVID, there was seemed to be no slowdown in terms of our tourism dollars within the area, with the exception, of course, of the dunes. With that being said, just wanted to update you on two additional items. The city has currently applied for what's called a REAP grant. I kind of hinted on that earlier about this SB2 funding. Originally, the thought was, from a city staff perspective, that we were going to use that to generate what's called off-the-shelf ADU plans. So that means that someone can come in if they want to do an accessory dwelling unit on their house. We would have already a pre-approved set of plans to go, and they can utilize that, which is a significant cost savings for homeowners. Typically, that's those soft costs are anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 in design costs. We actually partnered up with the City of Aurora Grande, City of Morro Bay, and City of Atascadero, to do a regional approach to do those type of ADU blueprint plans. We were the only applicant for the regional approach. SOCOG put us number one on there, so we are looking to get a funding for that, which again allows to free up that SP2 money for the larger project, which is the Objective Design Center. So kudos to the City of Atascadero for taking the lead, but that is something next year on your plate as well that we'll be bringing forward and we're really excited about. Finally, let's talk about next month's agenda. We do have a scheduled meeting for October 28th. As we wind down towards the end of the year, this is actually one of the larger items that will be going before you. It is the draft housing element. We've been working feverishly on that update over the last year or so. Our consultant has. That is the environmental documents are now available on our website. So that draft will be presented before you at the next Planning Commission meeting. So it is an important aspect to fulfilling our regional housing needs assessments and goals as established by the state, as well as getting our goals and policies in line for the housing element. So again, that's the big item at that meeting. And then we will also have one smaller item. It's a use permit on South Oak Park Boulevard, an expansion of a new brewery. So I'm always excited as a connoisseur of the microbrews to be bringing something new and expanding here at the city of Grover Beach. And it's always a great clap when you see these small businesses expand, especially during these COVID times. It is really hard out there. And if you do not know, we are in the red tier now. So we have occupancy changes in terms of indoor dining at 25%. Our nail salons are now available to open, as well as some of our hair salons with modifications for the state. So our code enforcement has been working again hand in hand with our businesses to make sure that we stay safe, use our masks, and social distance when possible. And remember, go out and vote. So that's my update for this meeting.
Good job. Is there a timeline on the replacement of our more commissioners? It's one more, I think, right?
Yes, we did have applications come in. That is something that Bruce, myself, and the city manager will go over. So we will establish that when Bruce does get back from vacation. I will make sure that it rises to the top of his agenda because it's always fun to have one more versus the four. So
yeah. Good.
So, I want to chime in on COVID also. I was able to work out with my clients on the second floor inside of Kennedy Club for the first time in 4 months today. So things are looking up in that area, and I hope it continues. I would like to ask, I thought of one more thing. That's been on my mind. I've been doing some research and haven't seen standards for parking. Well, the private story is I got a ticket for parking my little Vespa scooter in the very remote corner of a handicap zone that wasn't really marked very well. So that caused me to look at parking for smaller vehicles, for motorcycle parking, bicycle parking, and Pismo Beach is very poor in that area. They've done some new lining, some new covering of their public parking spaces. And so I was looking at Grover Beach and couldn't really find a definitive place to look to see if we require motorcycle parking or small vehicle, bicycle parking on our new development codes. And if not, that would be something I would like to champion to get.
Well, to answer your question very quickly, yes, our development code does include the provision for bicycle parking as required by the California Building Code. The building code in the 13 or 16 cycle required the bicycle parking. As for compact spaces or small cars, that provision is in our code as well. It allows for a certain amount of compact spaces to be located after a certain amount of parking spaces are there, and then to reduce parking, but also increase those compact spaces to meet your parking demands. So those are there. Those tools are available. And then also our parking code was amended just over 2 years ago now to come up to date to what our current needs are. So our parking is pretty flexible in that aspect. And you're beginning to see that flexibility as we've moved into these parklets, which is a great example of our old codes. And all these parklets have popped up and down throughout the city. A lot of businesses are utilizing this to survive. However, if you're not going to go to a restaurant because of lack of parking, you really haven't heard that complaint yet. So stay tuned on that.
Okay. Thank you for that input. It just occurs to me that public parking, there's getting to be very little what is actually not already private parking, that it's getting to be public parking is smaller and smaller in space. And I think there isn't very much actual public parking, not occurring curbside, that Grover Beach has. If you have any data you run across, I would like to look at that. But if there not be any other comments, if I haven't forgotten anything, I think it's time to adjourn. So then I make my little gavel go and at 8 o'clock, 8:01. Have a good evening, everyone.